Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I was special teaming it up all during the week.
Patrick Manley.
My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manley.
Bears long snapper for 16 seasons.
Pat Manley, the long snapper. Maynard put it in position, and Robbie Gould sends the Bears to the NFC Championship game.
The longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
Captains the midfield for the coin toss. Patrick Manley breaking an all-time Bears record for games played.
You know, it's great that they have one of the most competent combinations between the snapper, holder, and kicker.
Kraft beer mogul.
Long snapper IPA. The can of me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino.
Patrick Manley.
Happy Halloween.
Manley comes every week as Kenny Chesney, right?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out who you are every day. Every day. I have some ideas. I don't know if they're fit for radio, so I won't say them, but every week's Halloween for Manley. I figured I'd jump in. We activated Manley back off of IR this morning. It's good to see you, Pat.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Thanks, guys. And I apologize for last week. I'm still a little under the weather, but I'm here, man. I'm making it.
We took a loss last week. Your apology is not accepted.
I know.
This stage.
With Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Where the top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and the Cats host DePaul, Illinois, Indiana, and more at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. Pat Manley joins us on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What up, Pat?
Nothing, Danny. I got a question for you before we get started.
Please.
Why did the pretzel file a police report?
I don't know, Pat.
Why?
Go ahead, Pat. Go ahead.
Because he got assaulted.
Hey!
Yikes. I had to jump in.
Yeah, no, way
Olin
to participate.
Olin called this a frat. I had to jump in the frat, man. I'm ready to go.
He did.
Yeah, you sure did. I'll ask you the same question that I asked Spiegs. What offended your football sensibilities most yesterday?
All the timeout issues. There's one nobody's talking about. The timeout before the end of the first half, when they did the personnel change, the Ravens did, the Bears had three timeouts in their pocket, and they got caught for, a 15, 12-yard gain right in front of Kendall Vildor when they were trying to change personnel. Mm. If you see that happen, you bang a timeout right there, right at the beginning of it. You see the confusion. You've got three left for the half. I think it was 1:06 or something, or whatever it was. Bang the timeout. So all three of those situations are just incompetency to me as a head coach, and I just – that to me is, if I'm an owner, whatever it is, I mean, as a fan, I know we're obviously upset, but as an owner, whoever, this, it's just, you can't have that happen. I mean, he doesn't have the play sheet anymore. Those are three game situations that, honestly, guys, you talk about these in April and May and June. This is when you go over all that stuff in coaches' meetings, out on the field for practice. And those are situations that just shouldn't happen, and they're that obvious, and they were that bad.
Pat, and so there's that one before the half, mm-hmm. and then there's all three of them in the second half. So maybe we're at four total.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your thoughts on the 4th-and-1 sequence.
Okay. Yeah.
The 3rd-and-1, they go deep, incomplete to Mooney, and then it's 4th-and-1. We all watched what happened. What are you thinking as a guy who in that situation is used to getting ready with the punt team, should you be used or not?
I'll just run you through the process. So, 1st, 2nd down, punt team guys are doing their thing. You know, me and Maynard or Adam Polish, whoever, we're down in the corner in the kicking net. At the start of 3rd down, you are standing by the special teams coach. He is telling you the situation, you know, whether you're going to punt left or right. Is there going to be a fake? All right, if we're in the middle of the field, they like to rush here. Remember these two rushes. He might show cards that these are some of the looks they like to do. And in that situation, he's going to tell you, all right, guys, we're punting, or they're going to go for it. I want you to stand right next to me because the coaches upstairs on the other team are looking. They're trying to figure out if they're going to go for it as well, but we're going to make it look like we're going to go for it. But he's telling us, just stand here. The decision has already been made before the third down call that we're taking two plays to get the 1 yard. We're taking the two plays to get whatever that yardage is. That's the way it normally happens. It did not unfold that way, and I know he can blame the headset, but that's something. The headset was still working at the beginning of a third down, right? Because he called the play into Andy Dalton. He didn't tell Andy Dalton he was going for going to go for it on fourth down because Andy Dalton came off the field. So that to me is completely on Matt Nagy that he botched that. Something happened. He frizzed out or whatever and was like, oh my gosh, I made a mistake. I need to call timeout. We're not punting now. I don't want to punt. We need to go for it. I don't know if it was the booze, but something happened, and that should never happen in that situation. Coaches should know, third and one, that situation of the game, this is what we're doing situationally going forward. We're taking two plays to go for it, or we're punting. That should have been done before third down.
Is there a chance that he was planning to punt, that he makes that play call and says, we're just going to go, but then we'll go ahead and punt? He thought that was a good idea?
It could be. I mean, you also got to remember you're going against that young quarterback, hopefully Pat O'Donnell. If your decision is to punt it in that situation, your thought is, I'm backing them up. They've had a hard time moving down the field until the last series, but they've had a hard time moving down the field. So let's punt them back down there. Let's get Pat O'Donnell to get it down the 12 to 8 yard line. We'll stop them. We'll get the ball back and we'll try to score that way. I could see that thought, but that's not the thought that I would use. Danny, actually, I would have gone for it. I would have told the quarterback, you've got two plays get a first down in this situation. I would never have made that throw. I did not like the throw out there. I would have run the ball twice to try to get the first down.
Pat, listen to your buddy Olin, your teammate Olin Krutz on multiple levels this morning with Mully and Haw, talking about the headset guy, who I think you know as well.
And that's why, sometimes with this coaching staff, I just wonder how much they troubleshoot problems before they even get to the game, right? It just seems to me that should be talked about. Hey, man, what if we're in a critical situation and the headset goes out? What is our progression? What do we do in that moment at that time? And I don't know if the coach yelling at the guy who runs the headsets looked like the guy saw the boogeyman when he looked up. I think he was having a conversation. I want to go find that clip again on the TV copy where he's just kind of talking story back there, and it looked like he saw a ghost. So that was one of my favorite moments of the game. His face was absolute terror.
Now, Pat, you know that guy too, right? He's been there forever.
He's been there forever. I know him so much. His daughter used to babysit my daughter.
Wow.
How about that? And I actually texted her this morning just kind of to almost apologize for Matt Nagy. And I laughed at it like Olin did, because I see him and I'm like, oh my gosh, he's going through this situation. It's not his fault. Those headsets go out all the time. And like Olin said, 100% correct and agree with him. Those are situations that happen all the time. So that's something you should prepare for. But yeah, that's my daughter's babysitter's dad. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That is an incredible connection. And just to be clear, you said maybe it was the booze that distracted him, right? Not the booze with a Z, right? Like the booze is in the booing? That was your
boo,
theory?
Boo,
or is
boo,
Matt
no
Nagy
Z.
drinking on the sideline?
No. He might have been the way he coached.
Okay. Got it. Too many long snapper IPAs. To me, Pat, listen, I love talking about strategic in-game football. You know, we do the go for it, punt for it. I love that stuff. I dork out over it. But I have to be honest with you. And it was egregious and it was bad, and I feel like it's been covered adequately. I don't really have anything to add other than what everybody who watched that game has already said about it. But I have to be honest with you. I was shocked. And maybe it's me. Like I'm an idiot for getting my hopes up. But the Steelers' defense is better than the Ravens' defense. Mm-hmm. They had an extra week to prepare. They were at home, and the Ravens were missing a bunch of starters, especially in the secondary. I actually thought the Bears' offense was going to look good, even without Allen Robinson. And so to me, that was by far the biggest thing from the game, and the biggest indictment on Matt Nagy is, how could they look so bad? And now I'm asking you, not rhetorically, how could they look so bad?
Yeah, I had them. So when you heard Lamar Jackson was out, I flipped my pick to Bears 24-23. So I was giving them a whole 24 points, which is a lot for them. So I was with you. I thought they could do better. But at the beginning of the game, I thought They moved the ball well, right?
First drive was pretty good. Yeah, first drive was good.
Then you get to the third and five play, and that's a whole different story. 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, they ran that play, and I think Khalil Herbert dropped it, fell on it. They didn't get a first down on that. When that happens 2 or 3 weeks ago, that's scrapped on my playbook. I'm scratching that thing out. But let me break down that play real quick. So to me, that play was put in for Wink Martindale's defense when they bring all those guys up to the line of scrimmage and flood the A-gap, and then you try to toss it and get outside. Well, when you don't see them do that, either Justin Fields or, again, Matt Nagy needs to call a timeout and say, all right, this look play we had to run against a certain look is not there. I'm going to call a timeout, live to call another play, and let's see what happens. That to me, that's coaching again. That's a problem with this offense. And then later on, the third and four, I think it was, the fumble, second and four that Justin Fields fumbled on, they go to the empty set. Mm-hmm. I tweeted that empty set. I'm like, why are you doing that? You just moved the ball, I think, 40 or 50 yards down the field by not doing that. But why do you feel like right now that's the time to call it? And it just that to me sums up why the offense does not play well. You just don't have cohesiveness, and then you continue to go back to what does not work. And I think that's the problem with this offense. They just there's no competency. It's just it's aggravating to see in those two situations though that call well both of those calls, and that's what you get. That's what happens. You back the ball up from the 34-yard line or for a 34-yard field goal to a 40-yard field goal. And with the way the wind was blowing, a 40-yard field goal is still difficult in that stadium. That was the problem with the offense.
Well, and one more, Pat. We talked about the sequence, but we didn't talk about the wildcat call on 4th and 1 with Montgomery alone. And Tony Romo said he liked the call and that Montgomery should have bounced it outside. Mm-hmm. I completely disagree. It's one guy asked to do it alone, 5 yards behind the line with no momentum, no lead blocker, no option to pass on 4th and 1. Nagy said after the game that they had that play all week long, that they loved that play and loved it in short yardage. Am I crazy that that's a terrible play call on 4th and 1?
No, I don't, because it was there. Like Romo was right, it was there. If he takes it outside, he's more than 1 yard. Obviously, he might be getting 10 yards, okay, 15 yards. So it was there. So I have no problem with the play call. I think David Montgomery made a bad read. I think that he saw that little hole for a split second and said, "All I need is a yard," and he didn't get it. He thought he could get it.
Okay, well,
that's my feeling. Yeah,
whatever.
Was there. If it's there, Matt, if it's there, then it should have been run properly. So I'm sure all week if they ran it. Maybe they ran it once or twice. They're like, all right, if it's here, you take it outside. If it's here, you take it inside.
Yeah, you're going to pay for disagreeing with one of the hosts.
It never is allowed on this show.
Nope.
Want your reaction to this live, Pat, since we've been on the air with you, from Jordan Schultz, who, you know, I'm not terribly familiar with his work. He's got 90-something thousand Twitter followers. He's got a blue check. He is a podcast co-host with Allen Robinson, though. So
correct.
Have that context here.
Mm-hmm.
An overwhelming number of Bears players want Matt Nagy gone, league sources say. Quote, he lost some of the locker room last season, but now it's gone, end quote. One source adds. One key holdup, no head coach in the 100-year franchise history has ever been let go during the season.
It's not surprising. I mean, when you have a 4-game losing streak, a 6-game losing streak, and you're in the middle of this thing right now, it's not surprising. To me, I'm a believer it's time for him to go, even if he kind of wins out. It just his ceiling was met in 2018. He's done nothing better than that, and I can see how that happens. And then if you're hearing that, I mean, we'll start to hear it, I think, from players when they speak to the media more. They'll get more more hush, you know what I mean? They really won't talk about anything. I think that's when you can tell, because they'll be frustrated. They'll be too afraid to say something. But I'm not shocked at that. I'm really not, but – you know, that's a 6-game losing streak and a 5-game losing streak 2 years in a row. That's really, really difficult. And then when that happens, the message that's being told obviously is getting old. And then I talked yesterday on the postgame show with Mully. I was sitting there thinking about it during a break. I'm like, what does he tell the team after that game? Like, what is the message to get them ready for Detroit?
Mm.
5 games in a row and lose the way they did. That's a tough one to sell the team. So he must be having a hard time selling whatever he's trying to sell to the team.
Who is this toughest on in terms of a locker room? You know, we had Boomer Esiason on, and he talked mm-hmm. about it's tougher for coach or for players to pay attention to a coach that they know is going to get fired. Like, but I don't know that Justin Fields, as he's still learning the NFL, has that luxury. I'm thinking guys who are hurt, maybe not trying to come back as much. Like, how do you think this plays out if it gets really ugly down the stretch here?
I think it goes player to player. So I think if you're a veteran and you know that you've got to put your tape out there, I think Olin was talking about this morning, you know, you got to build your resume. You got to keep your resume strong, whether it's for maybe the next GM that comes into the Bears or still where it's Ryan Pace or some other team if you get cut. And as a player, as Justin Fields, Khalil Herbert, you take this time just to learn the NFL. Take it all in, because some of it might not fit, some of it you might not agree with, but take it all in and figure out what works best for you. I'm talking coaching, the strength coaches you work with, the trainers, because those might be changed. Take it all in as much as you can, learn from it and see what works best for you. And that's the best way to go about it as a pro, in my opinion. And I think that needs to be, you know, maybe the young guys need to ask the old guys, hey, what's it like when coach gets fired and we're going down like this? What do we need to do? And that comes to, and I've been through it before, you get in your position groups and that's where you get even tighter. You're like, all right, O-line wise, we got to play our butt off. We're here for each other. Let's hopefully it spreads to the rest of the offense, but it kind of brings that group, can bring that group a little tighter in each position group if you have a good leader in there.
Pat, you think Ryan Pace is going to get to choose another coach?
I don't think he deserves it.
I don't either. And there's plenty of different spots we could look at, but I guess overall I'm struggling to understand how this whole thing is going to change from from the very tippity top with this awkward family business that we all love to watch weekly.
Yeah, what we've seen is the same people make the same decisions and make them incorrectly since what, 2012? How you change that, I don't know. And this morning I got bored and I texted you earlier about this, that what teams in the NFL have a former player of their team like on their staff somewhere? And I went to the Eagles, Connor Barwin, Howie Roseman has him as a special assistant to himself. New York, Jesse Armstead, I heard you brought him up earlier. He's a special assistant to the GM, Dave Gettleman. The Lions, obviously, everybody's talked about Chris Spielman, everybody knows. He's the special assistant to the CEO, the president, and the chair people. So he's been brought in as a football guy, a football voice to kind of bounce things off of. My favorite one, the Seahawks have Steve Hutchinson. You know what he's listed as? Football consultant. So it's just a football guy in the building. So that gives, to me, ownership, somebody they trust, somebody they respected in their building, that played for them, that really has bled, had surgery for them, all that kind of stuff, that really believes in that organization, that might give them a better and honest answer than what they're seeing or hearing from their coaches or GMs. And then also can give them another set of eyes there, can understand what's going on in the locker room, what's going on around the building. Are players truly unhappy with Matt Nagy or their head coach or whatever respective team they're on? I'm a believer. When I saw that, I'm just a believer that if you are an owner and you really don't know football, surround yourself with somebody you trust, respect, and is a football person.
I think that makes all the sense in the world. Mm-hmm. I'd be worried about that football person looking at the 2022 and beyond Bears through the lens of when they played. And that's maybe my own personal bias there, but yes. I'd be worried about like Bear football, 85 Bears. You need to run the ball and have a strong middle linebacker. You know, like,
yeah, because you got to find the right guy.
Because all those teams you mentioned are not all winning teams, right?
No, they're not. But I think it makes their owners smarter. And maybe like Olin's talked about it too. We've talked about the pre and post game show that you got to ask the right questions of your general manager and head coach of why you're doing these. Why did all those timeout situations happen? Are they asking those questions?
Sure.
Well, if you have a former player in there that understands all that kind of stuff and the dynamic between the players and coaches and that situational football, that would say, hey, sir, maybe you need to ask him about, what happened yesterday. And this is how you ask him. This is the answer you need to hear.
And also, like, how something is going to play in the room from a player's perspective.
Yes.
You know, this is what the players will think when this comes up, as opposed to being sold on something by their own football people who have their own self-interest and self-preservation in mind. And I hear what you're saying, Danny, but it doesn't have to go as far back as somebody from the 85 Bears. But if it did, maybe somebody like Gary Fencek has an open mind.
100%,
but
that's one that comes to mind as well. And it's not so much scheme to me, guys. It's just understanding football. Just, you know, they've been around football. They've seen it through their same lens. I'm talking the McCaskies and Ted Phillips. Bring somebody else around you that you trust and is truly a football person that has worn the uniform, wore the helmet, been downstairs in the building and walked around and knows what that feels like compared to the offices upstairs where the coaches and management is. Get somebody like that around you to help you evaluate the situation.
And somebody that cares. I heard Tom Thayer this morning with Mullion Haugh just so legitimately despondent about the fact that they didn't get the tight ends involved. And he's just like, I, what are they doing? I don't know. It's just so hard to watch. There's no tight end targets in the first half. What are they doing? And it ends with David Haugh going, hang in there, Tom. Hang in there.
Right.
Well, he feels it,
he's invested. He's more invested. Let me put it this way. He's more invested than any coach or GM that's ever come through there. Those GMs and coaches, they didn't really grow up Chicago Bears. Most players, and I'm talking about longtime players, you grow up a Chicago Bear. You actually bleed for the McCaskies. You actually get surgeries for the McCaskies. You are more invested than a coach and GM. A coach and GM wants to win. That is their number one goal. I get it. They want to pay their mortgage. They want to take care of their family. When you play for that organization, you really feel it. That's to me is the difference. And I think you need somebody around you that has that feeling, that's not there just to for the job, for the paycheck, for the notoriety, for being in the NFL. It's somebody that's truly invested with that organization.
Pat, as always, man, great stuff. Thank you.
Oh, you bet. Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to Mark Grody in 20 minutes. Hey, remember back in transition when I said, you know, the one thing I'll give Nagy is the locker room doesn't splinter and he seems to, like, there's not anonymous reports. Because it's coming. That's what those types of losses lead to. And not 2 hours and 30 minutes later, we have our first. I want to vet this. We've reached out to Jordan Schultz. What's going
on? Yeah, he'll join us before the end of the show.
Oh, we've heard back from him.
Yeah.
Excellent. So this is Allen Robinson's podcast co-host who's saying that he's hearing, the tweet reads a little funny to me. Multiple sources, but then he quotes one source. So I want to kind of try to get an understanding of exactly what it is that he's hearing. So we will hear from the person that says that the Bears have lost the locker room and the majority of them want Matt Nagy gone. We'll hear from them before the end of the show. Want your thoughts on that before Mark Grody next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I just understand in the end that we all care a lot, you know, and we're all, you know, in this thing. And, of course, we want to do everything we can to win, you know, so that's our job to do that. And I think that everyone is competitive and wants to see the Bears win. And that's exactly what we want.
But it's not going to be around here much longer. Matt Nagy seems
not
like
gonna, not gonna,
not gonna, not gonna, not gonna,
not gonna, not gonna, not gonna.
What would you say you do here?
Not much soon.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and the Cats host DePaul, Illinois, Indiana, and more at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Buy tickets now at nusports.com.
They gonna let Matt Nagy take a stapler or no?
I think so.
He's already been downstairs in the private room when he was pretending to be off campus for COVID.
That's right.
He was already there.
Hey, don't jump to conclusions, all right?
I shouldn't. Oh, that's right. We figured out where he was. He was at the Marriott Lincolnshire.
Sybaris.
One of the two.
One of the two. It's weird. We've seen some truly disastrous coaching tenures,
And by record, this isn't bad at all. You know, like, by record, over his tenure, 2 500 seasons, a 12-win season, a Coach of the Year award.
Two playoff appearances.
Never had a losing record until this year, which is obviously coming. It's not bad at all. But to, like, live through it and to know what he was hired for and how they've won almost in spite of where his area of expertise is.
Absolutely.
That's where it's not hard at all to justify the firing. But I will tell you, the next part that'll be tricky, and we'll see how Fields looks at the end of the season, is I said it, and I know a lot of people were saying it, and it seemed to be the majority opinion, was that Fields was more of a Nagy pick than a Pace pick. That Pace's drafting has gotten better as since Nagy has taken more of an active role in the personnel side of it. Like, they tied themselves together. Like, you keep asking, like, can Pace get another shot? I don't really know how you do that when it's collaborate.
I agree. There's two things pushing me towards asking that. I'm wondering, and that's I'm noticing the narratives. I'm noticing some people talking in a way that seems to be lifting Ryan Pace up and dropping Matt Nagy down. And then I'm just thinking about the sordid history of the McCaskey family in terms of not wanting to start completely fresh again.
Sure.
Like, you know, ask for some other consultant to come in and find another GM and then have that person find a coach and you're that far behind again. Like, they might, I don't think they want to clean the slate completely again. And there's enough good stuff on the Ryan Pace ledger that could give them a reason to think, no, you know, he's not really the issue around here.
It would just be weird to say, we like Justin Fields. Justin Fields was more of a Matt Nagy pick. Let's fire Matt Nagy and keep Ryan Pace. Like, if they got it right with Fields and they got Fields because of Nagy, and then to fire Nagy, it's not that you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be, and that's what this organization has often been, right? It's been, let's hire a defensive coach. No, let's hire an offensive coach.
Correct.
Let's have a hard ass. No, let's have a player's coach. Let's have a young guy. Let's have an old guy. Let's have a guy with experience.
No, you're totally right. And so the timing wouldn't be matching up, and the correlation of power would not be matching up, because you'd be keeping the guy that the person you're firing was behind the acquisition.
It would be the first question that any thinking person would ask. If they fired Matt Nagy and kept Ryan Pace and your entire reason for keeping both of them was the great collaboration, mm-hmm. then how do you now separate the two? It's nonsense. So this report, if you want to call it that, from Jordan Schultz, who is Allen Robinson's podcast co-host, so there is some legitimacy there.
Also co-hosts a podcast with CJ McCollum, so he's got sources and co-workers in a couple of different leagues, for that matter.
Yeah, so, I mean, the guy's got some sort of connections, and he says that Matt Nagy, the majority of the locker room, wants him gone. To be honest, you add that into fire Nagy chance and a 5-game losing streak, if anyone had any doubt, he's done. We've been talking about it. We think it's over for a while, that Fields' rookie contract is too valuable to turn it over to the guy that hasn't produced any offense in 4 years. It's just too valuable.
But what you brought up in transition.
If the other stuff starts to happen, if it starts to be embarrassing, if the fans boo him and fire Nagy and he loses the locker room and anonymous sourcing and all that, that it'll make this decision, even though one that's easy for the fan base, it'll make it very easy for the McCaskies.
Well, think about the way that this went down yesterday against a Ravens team that was missing 19 different contributors who are all on injured reserve, and then they have no Lamar Jackson and no Hollywood Brown to play the game, and you've got Justin Fields, and you're at home, and you lose. And how embarrassing that must be for the players. You heard it in Robert Quinn's voice. So they know they were outcoached. They know it. They watched it. They felt it. They saw it.
You'll hear from Roquan Smith, Jalen Johnson, Cole Kmet, and Matt Nagy in Moby Ditka, Mark Grody's Bears Report, next on The Score.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest.
It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Mark Grody joins us in studio as we are celebrating, we're mourning, on a Horizon Therapeutics Bears Monday. Jordan Schultz, who hosts a podcast with Allen Robinson, tweeted, an overwhelming number of Bears players want Matt Nagy gone. League sources say, quote, he lost some of the locker room last season, but now it's gone, end quote. One source adds, one key holdup, no head coach in the 101-year franchise history has ever been let go during the season. We will have Jordan on before the end of the show. Your response to that report, Mark Grody, is?
Hello. There we are. Now we are on the radio. My surprise because of even last year when they were going through the horrible six-game losing streak, it felt like the guys still like loved Matt Nagy. Like that has never it seems to me that it had never wavered. Now I know as a reporter that a lot of what we hear is they're not telling the truth, especially when asked questions like that about the boss. They're not going to come out and say
into a microphone, into cameras. Yeah, they're
right,
not going to tell you the truth.
And so we depend on, you know, sort of the eye contact, the body language, and things like that. And it's always been, honestly, it has always seemed sincere. Now, there have not been those kinds of questions directly about Matt Nagy this year.
And there's also not been those kind of moments when you're just hanging around the locker room for 20, 30 minutes and you get a guy who's walking out of the training room and you say, can you just talk to me about something here a little bit?
Yes, it is vastly different.
That stuff is gone.
Yeah, when a guy is standing up at a podium, I mean, it is, you know, it is so different from that. Even if everything is on the record when you're in the locker room, you could still get a better feel for a guy. You can know whether or not they actually want to talk because you go up to him and say, hey, do you want to talk? And,
sure.
And sometimes they do, and sometimes they will tell you some things and they will say something, and then once the recorder goes off, they'll say, hey, here's what's really going on. Now, we didn't have that luxury last year either, Matt.
So what
I could tell last year was it has always seemed like Matt Nagy was a very popular guy. But you know what? Here's the thing. The good guy-ness sort of wears off for everybody eventually. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of the things. Like, maybe that was like the last straw for Matt Nagy. If this report, if there is truth to it, that, okay, now he's sort of lost us in terms of the coaching, but he's still a good guy. And now that doesn't matter either.
See, that's the thing. Was yesterday bad enough that it could have broken that final straw?
Yeah, I think so. Like, everything about yesterday was bad enough. And it was, man, it was an emotional sideline yesterday after the deadly pass at the end of the game that set Baltimore up to win the game. Roquan Smith comes over to the sideline and he was just screaming, you know, took his helmet off and just kind of running up and down the sideline, not really yelling at anybody in particular, but definitely, you know, letting it out. I was watching Marquise Goodwin on the final touchdown. He had obviously had that huge touchdown to put the Bears up, and a lot of people thought they're going to win. I was just watching his face during that, and it was so like dejected. I mean, you can imagine what his face looked like. So it was a crazy day on the sideline.
Hopefully you can hang out for another segment because Jordan Schultz just called in. So we are gonna talk to him right now.
Do it.
We are gonna hear from you in just a little bit.
Thank you, Mark.
Jordan Schultz, kind enough to join us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Jordan, you host a podcast with Allen Robinson. We very much appreciate your time. I know you're very busy, so thank you. And what exactly are you hearing?
Well, my pleasure, guys. Well, first of all, as an NFL fan, there's no question that when the Bears and the Packers and the Giants are better, it's good for the league. So obviously, selfishly, I like the Bears to do well, and obviously, you know, because of Allen as well. So with that in mind, there's no question as well that the organization has gone through a very rough seven seasons, and I didn't even know this, but the fact that they're 45-61 over Ryan Pace's 7 years, I think says a lot. Obviously drafting Trubisky, hiring Nagy, there just seems like there's an endless amount of rope for Matt Nagy and Pace for that matter. But When it comes to the locker room, which we know isn't the end all and be all, but certainly matters, I think last season he lost some of it. And from what I'm told now, it's really just gone. And when you talk about a team that's been decimated by injuries, you know, that's one thing. But when you don't have faith in your head coach, especially as a team with a lot of young players, I think it's very difficult.
What was the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of trust in the locker room?
Well, it started at the beginning of the year when he named Dalton the starter, because a lot of that locker room was divided, you know, wanting Justin to get the nod. And, you know, the fact that Andy came in, was a veteran, you know, it's great. And yeah, like he wanted to be QB1, but when you have a young superstar or someone that you think could be a superstar quarterback and that you drafted in that position, you know, there's a reason why you did that. And in this day and age, I think what we've seen is that young players, young quarterbacks need to play, and it's almost unanimous across the board that they do. So when Fields got the number two role behind Dalton at the beginning of the season, that didn't help. If you go back to last year, toward the end of the year, I think losing to Detroit, giving that game away, there's a lot of, it's not necessarily one thing, but there's a lot of, as you said, straws that certainly contributed to it. And then I think last weekend just epitomized the team and the state of the team in terms of where it stands with Matt Nagy.
So when they talk about him, Jordan, in terms of what you're hearing, are they talking about his schematics? Are they talking about his leadership, his game management?
My understanding is the leadership element, or lack thereof, from Ryan Pace is a big issue. For Nagy, I think it's a combination, but schematically, as someone that's supposed to be an offensive coach and someone that has went through Trubisky as quickly as he did, and was unable to get that going, I don't think that helped. But now it's really, my understanding is the leadership, or lack thereof, with Ryan Pace. And with Nagy, it's a schematic, but also just, I don't get the sense that he really connects with a lot of these players. And it's unfortunate, because you look at that roster and they were healthy. You know, I thought they were a playoff team, and obviously a lot of things happened during NFL season, but we're in this position, and I can't imagine a scenario where he isn't fired. And no Bears fans know this, but the fact that they haven't had a coach fired in 101 years during the season, I didn't realize that either, speaks for itself. But I think there is a first for everything.
Jordan Schultz is our guest. So the tweet that had us reach out to you said, an overwhelming number of Bears players want Matt Nagy gone, league sources say. And then you quote one source, he lost some of the locker room last season, but now it's gone, end quote. So, but just to be clear, you have multiple sources telling you that the majority of the locker room wants Matt Nagy gone.
Correct.
Okay. Obviously, people are going to make the connection, because you're not on the Bears beat every day, but you do have a podcast with Allen Robinson, mm-hmm. and his agent, Brandon Parker, has been very vocal on social media of mm-hmm. being critical of Allen's targets and the Bears offense and all of that. Mm-hmm. People are going to make the connection and the assumption that you are voicing the thoughts of Allen Robinson's camp. You would understand that, correct?
Of course I understand it, but you know, I can't go there and say, yes, it's true, or no, that's not true. I can't go there with that.
Okay, so I guess what in terms of the multiple sources angle or all of that, like, you know, Matt Nagy seems to, just from our observation of having it every day, that actually had been the thing that he had, you know? There hasn't been a lot of...
Last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there hadn't been a lot of anonymous quotes and all of that stuff. So I guess I'm just kind of wondering how that broke down from Nagy's perspective.
Well, I don't think it was the case last year for the majority. You know, I think I want to say it was Cordell Patterson who I've had on my show, and he's a great guy, and was really well liked by Bears fans. I think it was him that tweeted out, you know, I stand with Matt Nagy. It was somewhere in November of last year.
Yep.
So I don't get the sense that, you know, most of the locker room felt that way a year ago. But I think this year, I mentioned the Dalton thing that didn't help. You know, the fact that they, I think with the Bears, there's such an amount of pride in that organization. And the fact that they have not been able to find any sense of rhythm offensively, and the fact that you have a head coach who's known as an offensive guy, I think all of that has contributed to it. And I go back to I think a lot of people connect Nagy with pace. And as a result, you can group them together. And whether that's fair or not, I don't know. But I think there's a sense that, okay, pace is Nagy's guy and vice versa. So I'm going to put them in the same boat. And that's the sense I get for right now.
Well, a couple things on that front. And Jordan Schultz is with us talking about his tweet and report about anonymous sources within the Bears. So you mentioned that they were concerned about leadership from Ryan Pace. Is that in terms of him actually even being present, being vocal, being connected? Certainly we don't.
I don't think. Yeah.
We don't hear from him publicly and in the media. I wonder if the players ever hear from him.
So that's where I was going to go is with Ryan Pace. Like, you know, there are two different kinds of GMs. Some guys are very vocal. Some guys aren't. They want to be behind the scenes, and both can be successful. And in Ryan Pace's case, I don't think there's any real connection with the players. And you don't need to have that to be a successful team, to connect with the GM. But when there is not a sense of communication and togetherness that starts at the GM, it's very hard, and this is why I've tried to be fair with Nagy, but it's very hard for the head coach then to operate on a day-to-day basis, because you know that when a head coach is hired by a GM, they're talking every day. So when there's that disconnect to the players, I think that has been very difficult for a lot of guys.
And you do not see a scenario where Nagy would go and Pace would stay. Is that correct?
I think it's awfully hard. I would defer more to you with Pace, given that he's been there 7 years. Let me ask you this then. With Ryan Pace, do you feel like Bears fans blame him more or Nagy?
I think Nagy at the moment's less popular, but 7 years of no playoff wins for Pace is pretty damning. And this would be his third coach if he got another one. The cap situation isn't great.
Surviving the Trubisky bust. People don't usually get to survive that and continue.
Yeah. Jordan, do you think there's a scenario where Allen Robinson plays for the Bears next year?
I don't know that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he could get tagged again, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it would be – they don't have a ton of cap space, and it would be very expensive.
Right.
But conceivably, they could tag him again for – 120% of what he got this year.
Yeah. Hey, how about this? Let me answer the first question, because that's easier for me to answer right now with Pace and Nagy. I would compare it, not exactly the same, but I would compare it to Judge and Gettleman in New York, where you have potentially in this case, in the Giants case, maybe a third coach with a GM that hasn't been there very long, a GM that has no communication with the team, and a team that often feels like they're kind of operating, rudderless. And that's the sense that I've gotten with Nagy and Pace. And that's why I tweeted it a few minutes later. I don't envision a scenario where Pace survives as well. I can't imagine a situation where an organization like the Bears is going to continue to give him the opportunity to hire another head coach.
Okay. It's a hell of a report, man, and I understand that you are not going to comment on your
source. I have to protect certain sources. I can't. I wish I could give you more right now, but that's what I got right now.
Right. No, but just to recap, you've got multiple people saying that the overwhelming majority of the Bears locker room wants Matt Nagy gone.
Yeah. Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Jordan Schultz, Schultz Report on Twitter, host of a podcast with Allen Robinson. Hey, call us back if you get more, man. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. All right.
Thanks, Jordan.
I don't know.
I wonder who Allen Robinson wanted to be quarterback.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, man. He won't say, right? And I kind of towed a line there, right? And
sure.
He's not... You're obviously not supposed to ask a reporter who his source is, and he's obviously not going to reveal his source. But Jordan Schultz is not a newsbreaker. It's not Adam Schefter. Like, the idea that that guy who hosts a podcast with Allen Robinson, who has the outspoken agent, is all of a sudden going to have
seven sources inside the Bears locker room is exceptionally unlikely.
Understood. But he also did mention Cordarrelle Patterson was on the show. We could look at a guest list, and then you know how it works.
It's not impossible.
You think it's unlikely that Allen Robinson could be saying to someone who's likely his friend in Jordan Schultz, hey, it's this guy.
I'm saying that it's exceptionally unlikely that the sourcing does not include Allen Robinson.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, the guy hosts a podcast with Allen Robinson.
Shane, dig into the guest list on that podcast from last year and or from this year, because it's obviously, he mentioned Cordarrelle Patterson. You book a guest, sometimes you make a contact and you go on from there.
Yeah, but Grody's here. He is actually on that beat. I'd be fascinated to go. I mean, can we break? Or go ahead, real quick.
No, I was just saying, the only thing as it pertains to that is the reason seemed a little bit shy as far as I was concerned. Like, was it just the Dalton thing?
It was the fact that the offense has no flow and no scheme. That's what I took from it. That they're like, hey, this is the offensive guy and our offense sucks.
Yeah.
Which makes all the sense in the world.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
But
we'll continue to react to it, and then we'll hear Grody's Bears report with the players and Matt Nagy. But that, I don't know. That was a weird one to me. I need to process that last 10 minutes of conversation. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.